What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hello, and welcome to a new edition of the Defocus Media Podcast. I'm Jennifer Lyerly, and I am joined by Dr. Daryl Glover. And today we're back with a new edition in our series focusing on difference makers. These are eye care providers from around the country that are doing good and giving the gift of sight. We just honor so much everything that these doctors are doing to give back to their communities. And Daryl, it's such an honor to be able to recognize them on the show.
Absolutely, Jen. I mean, these are doctors, these are eye care professionals that are just impacting not just their local neighborhoods, but also the world in some cases. And I'm just thrilled to be around these individuals and be able to talk to them and pick their mind and figure out how I can grow, not just as an eye care professional, but as a person as well.
That is such a good point. And we're joined by a guest who definitely fits into that tradition of inspiring others. Please welcome to the show ophthalmologist, Dr. Sergul Erzurum.
Thank you so much, Jen. That's all so kind of you to say. And it's really a pleasure to be here with you and Daryl. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited.
So we want to, of course, get to learn more about you. Would you mind sharing what inspired you to pursue ophthalmology?
So, you know, I've been listening to your guys' podcast, and you kind of asked this question, and everyone has this really glamorous, fabulous story. Mine's pretty boring. I, you know, went to medical school because I liked biology and I wanted to help people. And the rest of my story was just kind of luck, some serendipity and synchronicity, you know, just being in the right place at the right time. I was trying to set up a summer research project, and as luck would have it, the only opportunity that even remotely met my interests was with an ophthalmologist. I had never even considered the profession at the time, but I learned so much that summer. And probably the greatest thing I learned was what a gift providing sight was. And what influenced me the most was how passionate he was about his career, even 30 years into it. And I knew I wanted to feel that way decades into my profession. So when I returned to school that fall, suddenly ophthalmology was in my thoughts and every rotation had to measure up. And the next thing I knew, I was applying to ophthalmology.
What's so interesting is we know that there's a trend of shortage of ophthalmologists, but it seems like such a wonderful career for people who are interested in pursuing medicine. Do you have, you know, any inspiration of trying to get other people to follow in those footsteps?
You know, I actually mentor a lot of students at our medical school. Anyone who's interested in ophthalmology, I work with them for a year to 2 years doing research, exposing them to the field so they can really figure out if they like it. I didn't have that opportunity. There weren't those options when I was a student. And I think you're right. A lot of people don't think about ophthalmology or aren't exposed to it until it's too late. I mean, what I really loved about ophthalmology was I was able to become a family eye doctor. I went on and did a pediatric ophthalmology fellowship and really loved the fact that I could take care of senior citizens and also help future generations.
Wow, that's phenomenal. I mean, clearly you have a love and passion for the world of eye care. One thing that I really love about your background, you know, you're very active in the community. What really sparked inside of you to be active in your community from having future doctors shadow you, but also be involved in your local community?
So, you know, I think all of us as healthcare professionals, we all want to give back to the community. I think the hardest part is finding a way that feels meaningful to us to give back. And that was the hardest part for me. You know, I wanted to give back to the community. I gave back to the medical students, teaching, helping patients. But it was really important for me to give back in a way that was impactful and something that I could do that others couldn't do.
Well, so in 2016, you and your friend founded Sight for All United. What are some of the projects that you work on with that organization?
So Sight for All United was born from the fact that patients were suddenly being left with large amounts of debt, being unable to pay their copays and deductibles. And that just didn't sit right with me as a physician, that patients were being denied access to care because they could not make their payments. Because of that, my friend and I turned around and created Sight for All United. And its purpose was to help bridge this gap for underinsured or uninsured patients. We just had no idea what we had created and how focusing attention on eyesight could become so important in our community.
So let's talk about all the pieces that are a part of this Sight for All United. Are we just working with ophthalmologists? Or are we working with optometrists, opticians? I mean, who all's involved with this organization?
So that's a really good question. And it actually is a community-wide collaboration. collaboration. Sight for All United itself is a collection of 43 eye doctors in the Tri-County area. And we work with optometrists, ophthalmologists, anyone who wants to become involved. But as an organization, we would be completely paralyzed without the collaboration of community organizations, optical labs, and private businesses. So for example, within a couple of months of forming Sight for All United in January of 2016, we had a nurse from an inner city charter school reach out to us. Now, we had no intention of becoming a school vision program. We didn't know what we were going to become, but we had no intentions of becoming a school vision program. But she called us up saying she had 95 children in her school that had received screenings and failed, but had never gotten their eye exams. And how could we help?
Wow.
So we immediately took on the challenge and we called upon our local United Way, the school leaders, a local optical lab, and our physicians. And we arranged transportation for these 95 kids to the local eye doctor's offices. We divided them up amongst the community, depending upon location from the school. Out of those kids, 85 had serious visual or medical problems that either required glasses, surgery, patching, therapy. You can imagine the excitement that was created out of providing service to these kids and the sudden demand to help more children. And only through this fantastic collaboration with the community, business, Essilor Foundation, were we able to start an inner city school vision program our first
year.
Wow.
That's phenomenal work. I mean, just to be able to collaborate with the people in the community, give back to the community, and just really help people have a better future by being able to see better and clear. We all have this gift to help other folks, but to be able to help someone with vision, to me, is just priceless.
Well, and you know, we're in the field of vision, right? I mean, so we think we value it more than everyone else does, or perhaps that's our perspective because our whole life revolves around vision and eyesight. But the average person really values their eyesight as well. You know, our motto at Sight for All United is that we're providing hope by giving sight. And, you know, if you give someone eyesight, you're giving them hope for a job. You're giving them hope to drive a car. You're giving them hope for an education, hope to remain independent in their homes. You know, so there's a tremendous amount attached to eyesight and what we can do.
Absolutely. Could you tell us a little bit more about as far as the interactions with the kids? I mean, do you have any great stories or memorable moments that just really touched you?
So, you know, we actually just received the most phenomenal comments from a school nurse from this past year. And she had to call me to tell me about it. She said, you know, I have to let you know that the work you're doing is really important. And you have to know about how one child in particular was so monumentally affected by you coming into the schools and doing eye exams. So she has a young child who's in second grade, and this child is in a foster home. So mom had a few issues, and the child was living in foster care with a couple of different families over a short time period. The child entered the second grade only reading at the kindergarten level and feeling very demoralized, feeling unintelligent. And the teacher remarked to us that the day she received her glasses, that child exponentially took off. And by the end of the school year, she completed reading at the second grade level and loved her glasses so much, didn't ever want to take them off, and was taking books home over the summer to read.
You know, we oftentimes think about these big mission trips where we're going to other communities, we're doing surgeries, we're doing something really intense, but the amount of help that you can provide to a school that's right in your own neighborhood where there's children there that are getting left behind, not because they're not bright, but because they don't have the means to be able to see to perform in the classroom. It really breaks your heart when you realize how much room we all have in our communities to do more. I want to share a few stats about what your organization has been able to accomplish. In 2018, in the Youngstown, Ohio community, your organization screened all of the children in local schools K-4, which is 2,500 children, examining those who failed the screenings, which 500 of those had failed, and providing eyeglasses to those in need. And of course, setting them up for additional services like patching therapy or surgery if that was necessary. That's a huge impact in one community. And what's so crazy is there's so many more communities, even within your state or even within the United States, that are in desperate need of that kind of help.
So I have to first start by saying that when you read off those stats like that, it sounds extremely impressive. But I'm going to tell you that we could not do that alone, nor did we do it alone. And I think that's what every community has to recognize. Without a successful program that is worked upon and invested in by not just the community, but by businesses and national organizations, we can't accomplish anything. So when you think about 2,500 kids getting screened, I mean, that would be impossible for 43 eye doctors to give up enough time to go in and do that, right? So we had to depend upon our local partners and our tireless volunteers. And that was actually coordinated by our local United Way. And then we depended on outside businesses. There was a physicians group called Ageless Eye Care. And we have a local optical lab, Classic Optical, and Essilor Vision Foundation. So these businesses came and worked along with us so that we were able to provide the eye exams, the optical dispensing, and two pairs of glasses for every child, one for school and one for home. If we didn't collaborate with all these people, the time that we would have to invest as eye care providers, the resources we would have to spend, would make it impossible to accomplish. And we could never hit the volume of kids that we're trying to take care of. But I really want to go back to the first comment you made, which was, Jen, about the, you know, helping people in your own backyard and how people go on all these mission trips. And I have been on mission trips. And I have to tell you that a lot of them made me feel kind of sad. You know, you're there for a week, you're doing some good for a week, but then you're gone. And who's going to help them when their glasses break or their next problem shows up? You're leaving them with just a small band-aid of a huge problem. And one of my favorite quotes and one of my favorite people to quote is Mother Teresa. And she would always say, stay where you are and find your own Calcutta. You can find Calcutta all over the world if you have the eyes to see it. And, you know, if you just open your eyes and look around you in your own community, there are so many people to help.
You know what? That really resonated with me because I always have patients come in that are nurses or teachers, and they're always telling me that they have students that need help with their eye care needs. You know, they can't afford an eye exam or they can't afford glasses, and they can see that it's impacting the way that they learn in a classroom. So you're right. We definitely need to look in our own backyard and find our own Calcutta. You know, recently you were recognized by your colleagues and also Essilor as a difference maker. Difference makers are folks that improve lives by improving sight. And clearly you've been doing that in your community. And I just want to read something that one of your friends or colleagues, Don Friedkin, actually wrote about you. She said that Dr. Ezerum brings her can-do and yes and spirit to every aspect of charity efforts and medical practice. She has forged alliances across hospitals, nurses, doctors, charities, foundations, local manufacturers, communication, and new services to ensure our community gets the best vision care it needs. I cannot think of a bigger difference maker. If only we could bottle her skills and commitment and share her across more communities. How does it feel to have the honor of being a difference maker?
So I have to say, I was really blown away by that honor. I mean, it was, to me, just to be nominated by my colleagues was something, was a very humbling experience. I really feel undeserved of the recognition. You know, no one does anything alone. It feels as if you're trying to accept recognition that took hundreds of people to accomplish. It is an incredible honor to be recognized, especially by a corporation like Essilor.
So out of hundreds of nominations, you were honored as being selected as a difference maker. And part of that recognition and honor was being able to participate in a mission trip with Essilor. Would you mind telling us a little bit about that trip and experience?
So I don't even know if there are words for this experience. Life-changing seems dramatic, but it's so true. It was not just going to a part of a world that was so different. It was going to learn how the world is going to be affected by poor eyesight and the level of impact that a great plan can have. And that experience somehow was only magnified by going through it with other difference makers. We all kind of understood the awe of what was being accomplished on this global level by Essilor.
So let's dive into this trip. I mean, like, tell us some details. Tell us from, you know, when you took off to when you landed, what happened? I mean, let's get the nitty gritty of what happened during the trip.
So we were taken to Singapore initially. We spent a couple of days in Singapore, and that was really amazing.
Yeah, let's talk about that experience, because I heard Singapore is beautiful and pretty amazing.
It is absolutely gorgeous. I tell everyone Singapore is the Disney World of countries. So, you know, just picture that and you pretty much know what Singapore is.
Right, right.
So we spent 2 days in Singapore. And as you may know, Essilor's international headquarters for their Vision Foundation is located there. We spent 8 hours learning about the global vision needs and how true solutions are occurring through their inventions, education, and collaboration. And what they're doing is finding real solutions. They're going into countries and educating them, training them, and planning them to deliver independent care by their own citizens, And that's extremely powerful because they're not just improving eyesight, but they're developing a country. So when I was talking about feeling sad about going on a mission trip because you would go and you do a few days of work and go home and then you left them with no means to take care of themselves, Essilor's taking it to that next level, right? They're going in and they're helping them, but then they're teaching them and leaving them with the tools to continue to care for people. And that to me was just amazing.
That's so exciting to hear that they've set up. The goal is not just giving back to that community, but creating sustainable eye care for the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week that people in that community are going to need it. And obviously we can keep returning to those areas and provide more training and more help, but that's still someone left behind that can care for people every single day.
Right. And teaching them some values of having their own business, you know, and being a valuable member of their community. So these are all attributes that have value so much beyond just providing eyesight.
Absolutely. And what was next after Singapore? Where'd you guys go after that?
So from Singapore, we went to Thailand, and that's where we were engaged with the community. And I would have to say the most impactful moments, of course, were the days where we spent them at the schools. So we were working alongside the Thai people. Essilor has their own people in almost every one of these countries. And so we volunteered alongside the Essilor employees, but they also had optometry students from Bangkok. And that was just the most fabulous interaction for me because, as I said, I love the students. I love teaching as it is. But these students were just so special. And there was a great camaraderie that occurred as we were all just kind of working to examine these kids and get glasses ordered for them. And these optometry students were so excited to learn that when they would see a patient with pathology, you know, they'd be in the middle of doing their exams. They would stop examining to run over and see what I was doing for some child who had strabismus. And then afterwards, they would say, okay, now, what would you do for this child afterwards back in the States? And we would sit down and talk about, you know, the methods of care and how we would deliver that care and what my concerns were and what were going through my mind. So it was really wonderful.
That sounds like optometry students that we know, Daryl.
I'm sure there are.
I remember those days like it was yesterday, Jen, just seeing some exciting things and running down the hall or, you know, bragging to your friends. Hey, I saw this today. What did you see? You know, everybody wanted to do each other up. But that's phenomenal. When you were talking to these students, I mean, how's the eye care industry in their country? How is it in Thailand in general?
So, you know, I was actually pretty impressed with their knowledge base and what they were doing. I mean, as far as students being able to perform the whole exam in this far from advanced, you know, format, right? We're in a playground outside, you know, in a parking lot, you know, maybe in a teacher's classroom, and we're trying to give complete eye exams to these kids and make assessments. But they had a real passion to learn. And I thought that was just fabulous. Of course, ultimately the most incredible moments were with the children, just playing with them, laughing with them, examining them. They have to be some of the most beautiful children in the world. I'm not really sure who benefited more by our visit, if it was them or us.
I'm thrilled to hear that you came home. It sounds like very invigorated and rejuvenated from the experience. Was there anything that you are bringing back to Sight for All United from your trip?
So, you know, as much as we all think we're doing, you always find out that you can do more. I probably brought back about 3 lessons that I learned from this trip that helped me provide more impact in our community, or hopefully it will help us bring more impact to our community. First, that no one's too small to make an impact. You know, so Essilor is going into these countries and teaching people how to refract and become business owners and to make an impact one person at a time. And that's not a small impact. Consistency and continual effort probably as our most successful methods of delivering care. The second thing I learned, and I knew it going into the trip, but really felt empowered by it coming out, and that is collaboration is king. You know, no matter whether you're an individual or a massive international company, we can't achieve anything if ego gets in the way, and you have to learn how to work together. And probably last is, you know, trying to set up our own goals for our organization. You know, oftentimes we set up goals that we know are achievable and reachable, or that seems safe. And I've now come upon the premise that no goal should be forsaken because it's too large. And the larger, the better. And, you know, Essilor has this goal of wiping out correctable vision loss by 2050. And I'm sure people laughed at them when they said they were going to be doing something on this scale, on a global level. But yet they are making some really major impact in this direction. And I think we're only limited by how large we can dream.
With that being said, I would love to hear some of your goals and plans for the rest of this year and beyond, because it sounds like you definitely are embracing the dream big spirit.
So we have a lot of projects ahead of us for 2019. We're really excited about them. And then some big projects for 2020, which of course is going to be a huge year for eye care. We're going to be involved in the Youngstown and Liberty School eye exams again, improving the correctable vision loss as we have been the last 2 years. My goal this year for that program, though, is to improve upon our medical referrals. We want to make sure that these kids are getting to their local eye doctors after they've been diagnosed with a medical problem and making sure we're able to deliver them complete care. We're also engaged in a national organization called Remote Area Medical. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not. They travel all over providing free eye exams, glasses, dental exams, and medical exams. They come into a community for a weekend and they bring all the equipment, and you need to bring in the volunteers and the doctors. So we're really excited about being involved with them. They're coming to Youngstown for the first time ever this September. And Sight for All United will be organizing and overseeing the vision arm of this weekend, along with our doctors for sight and opticians in the area. We're also trying to get engaged in another inner city where they have a literacy program. And we are looking at evaluating about 60 children who've been identified as having reading abnormalities and providing full eye exams on them and analyzing the effects of our intervention on their ability to read. We've also partnered with the Ohio Optometric Foundation. They have a program called IC, and they actually reached out to us recently saying they're coming to a school in one of our counties. We're really excited to be partnering with this organization for the first time this year. So we've been engaged in a lot of programs with the schools, but of course we also have our projects which dealt with our initial mission, which was to help patients receive access to care. And so that's a constant ongoing theme behind all these programs, where if a doctor refers a patient to us, they need a referral, they need a pair of glasses, they need a surgery. We put them through the approval process and make it happen for them in the shortest time period possible.
Wow, you have a lot in the works. You're definitely going to need some more hands, some more volunteers. For those that are listening that want to get involved, what's the best way that they can get involved with helping out?
So that's actually my greatest passion, because I love having other people so excited about what we're doing that they want to jump on board, right? I mean, there's no bigger testimonial to doing some good that other people want to be engaged in the project. So there are no fees, there's no memberships. Anyone who wants to become a doctor for sight just has to get a hold of me and we'll make it happen for them. If they're outside our community and they want to have a similar organization or entity or want to set up a form of Sight for All United in their community, we'd be more than happy to help them. We actually are in the process of setting up our first chapter in the Cleveland-Akron area. And we believe Sight for All United can be easily reproduced. We think we have a successful plan on how you can get communities and foundations and doctors to work together, and that we can create a true solution to a vision problem in all of our communities.
Nice. I hope that you're able to open up a local chapter in every community. And for those that are interested in bringing a chapter to their community or just reaching out to you to learn more about becoming a difference maker, what's the best social media handle, email, website? How can folks get in touch with you?
So you can reach us on almost every social media platform. We are on Instagram, Sight for All United. We have a webpage, siteforallunited.com. Our Facebook is Site for All Ohio. And we do have a Twitter, which is Site for All You. You can also find us on LinkedIn. And I'm on all the social media platforms too. So anyone can reach out to me directly or DM me on Instagram or email me through the website.
Thank you so much for your time today. And we're super excited to follow along with your journey and get inspired by the projects that you're taking on so we can bring them back to our own communities. Thank you again on behalf of all of us eye care providers for being such an example for what it takes to get out there and make a true difference.
I always feel so humbled when people say these things because, Jen, I know you're probably doing stuff in your community. And Daryl, I know he's doing things in his community. And just by having this podcast and allowing people to have a platform where they can speak and exchange ideas is so amazing. You know, so I think everyone does such a huge amount to contribute. And we all have to just keep collaborating and bringing what we're doing to the surface.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.